right at the front with Genesis, and then Exodus, and then the Leviticus. And chapter 17, and we will read one verse, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now turn to the previous book, the book of Exodus, and chapter 12. We will read at verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the soul. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, one final reading, please, is Matthew's Gospel in the New Testament of your Bible, Matthew chapter 27. Verse 20, concerning the Lord Jesus and his sufferings at the cross. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Particularly the statement of the people in verse 25, his blood be on us and on our children. That statement very simply means we'll take our chance. We'll stand responsible for his blood. Very solemn statement. Now tonight, I would like to notice with you in the closing of the meeting a little of the value of the precious blood of Christ. We have read in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 about the blood shed on the altar, an Old Testament picture of the work of Christ at Calvary's cross. The blood upon the altar. We read from Exodus chapter 12 about the blood upon the door. The people who saw the value of the blood and saw the danger in which they were found under condemnation, they applied the blood and they were saved. That's a picture of God's plan of salvation for us today. The value of the blood upon the door. But then we read of a people who said, "His blood be on us and on our children." A responsibility of rejecting the person of Christ. Now the truth that we've been listening to tonight in the first part of this meeting, friend, requires the tremendous violence and the darkness and the shameful and the extreme suffering of Calvary's cross. If nothing else, Calvary should impress our every heart with the tremendous crime and horror of human sin against God. Every one of us in this little audience tonight has every right to bow our knees to God and bow our hearts with shame that we are sinners. But I tell you, friend, every one of us here tonight have every reason to bow our knees to God and exclaim with heartfelt gratefulness that God found in His own heart the answer to the awfulness and the crime of our sin. He found it in the sacrifice of His own beloved Son at Calvary. You know, we're far too unmoved by the reading of the Holy Scriptures. We read them as if it was just Mark Twain or Shakespeare or somebody. Great men. But my friend, when your eye falls upon the page of Holy Scripture, it is calculated of God to reach what no other book in the world can reach, and that is to reach your soul and to meet the need of your soul and mine for eternity, for the world to come. And when we read tonight of the value of the precious blood of Christ, let me remind you, friend in the meeting, if you have never come to know that value of that precious blood for your peace with God, our earnest desire is that you will listen to God's word tonight different than you listen to any other word or any other book. It is God's word intended to bring blessing and everlasting peace and forgiveness of sins to you and to me, a poor, miserable, unclean sinner. First of all, I want you to notice three things that are mentioned very simply and on the surface of the text that we have read from Leviticus chapter 17 regarding the value of the blood upon the altar. First of all, notice in our little text a divine requirement is being met in the blood on the altar. What requires the blood? What does God require bloodshed for? Why can we not settle this with money? Why can we not settle this with labor, devotion, prayer? Why can we not reform our lives and get this matter settled without bloodshed. All the violence, the finality of bloodshed. Why, O God, why there be bloodshed? Why must there be the stains upon the altar? Why must there be a life forfeited? Why must there be the awfulness of the writhings and the pains of death? What great catastrophe, what great matter must be settled by such extreme action? Why blood, Lord? Why? In the text, your soul, we, the sinful sons and daughters of Adam, such is the gravity of what we've been listening to, such is the tremendous darkness and ruin and absolute ruin of man's need and sin, that there can be absolutely no hope that the sinner will ever extricate himself from that darkness, that he will ever lift himself. He can't do it. God could never commit into your hand and mine the settlement of our sin, for we have neither the capacity nor the will that requires a light laid down. It requires a substitute. That's what's in our passage. Or if I can just underline for your thinking for a few moments, friend, that your soul required Calvary. My soul, the need of my soul required Calvary, with all its violence, with all its shame, with every drop of precious blood that flowed from the Savior's wound. For my soul, oh, tonight I'm glad that I can see that. It gives me joy that I can see the value of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus was for my account. But there was a day when I saw no value in it, and I saw recognized no need of mine being met in that precious blood. But oh, my friend, tonight, if you can see the darkness of your sinfulness, if you can see the extremity of your need, if you can recognize tonight that your sins have rendered you totally helpless before God, then, friend, the message of God's gospel for a dying race of human men and women is to turn their eye away from their ruin and turn it away to Calvary. The precious blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary was for your soul. That's what God has said. For your souls, I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. That's the great need. That is the price. That is the requirement that we might be saved from the penalty of our sin, from the ruin, from the darkness, the bondage of our own vile sin. It requires the precious blood of Christ shed at Calvary. Notice the second item that is mentioned very simply in this book. God says, I have given it to you upon the altar. It is a divine provision. God has planned it. God has devised this means. My friend, that should give you confidence tonight. That should give you assurance. And I look back to the Sunday night when I sat upon that little bed in that bedroom, and for the first time in my life's experience, I got to see and recognize so simply that what was accomplished at the cross of Calvary was by divine design. I had nothing to do with it. I could add nothing to it, and nothing was required of me. God had planned it. Oh, sinner, in the meeting tonight, look back again to the place of Calvary. Look back to what God has said about the work of His beloved Son, and remember, it is written over Calvary. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Your soul required it. And God gave it. My, what a wonderful mercy. What a wonderful message. Surely it ought to thrill you tonight and melt your heart with thanksgiving to consider that Calvary was planned by God to meet my needs. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. Is there a sinner in this little audience tonight? Conscious of your helplessness? Conscious of your vileness and your own sin? Perhaps you've tried to get peace with God and it seems to elude you. You just can't seem to get a hold of it. You can see that there's salvation there, but it's just as if there's a big curtain between you and it. You can't seem to see it. It's there, but you can't get a hold of it. I'll tell you why, then. Because your sin has rendered you blind and lost. You'll just have to take God's word for it, without looking for something that you can feel, without looking for something that you can sense within yourself. You'll just have to take God's word for it about the value of the precious blood of Christ that has satisfied Him for your soul. God required it, and God provided it. And I want you to notice, friend, God stipulates the place where it was to be kept. You see, our Lord Jesus did not die by accident. He did not die simply because crude, strong, rude men took him and, taking his hand, bound it to a tree and cruelly crucified him. Not a bit of it. No accident found him. A divine plan. A singular purpose. There could never have been the price for your salvation without Calvary. Look again to that cross in your mind's eye, my friend. Look at what God has to say about Calvary. And He says, I have given it to you upon the altar. Calvary, friend, is God's appointed place for the price for your salvation. It's not something that you do today that's going to bring peace with God. It isn't something that you and I can produce now that will put the last little payment to the price. No, friend, upon the altar at Calvary, the price is fully paid. I have given it to you upon the altar. There's where the price for your salvation was fully given. Every drop of the precious blood of the sinless Son of God was dedicated for a sinner like you at the price for your soul's salvation might be fully given. Oh, friend, tonight, can you see value in that precious blood? God has declared it upon Calvary's cross. He has provided for your soul's salvation. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. The blood upon the altar has satisfied God. But the blood upon the door is the evidence that the believer is satisfied. Oh, when I turn back to Exodus chapter 12 and we look again at that Old Testament picture of a land that was under condemnation, the wrath of God was to fall at midnight upon that land. And that precious, the blood of the Lamb, a picture of the precious blood of Christ, is what divided believers and unbelievers in that land that night. It wasn't a question of how much a person believed. It was a question as to whether they believed God about the blood. That's what made the difference, friend, between weeping and rejoicing. In the morning, that's what made the difference. It wasn't a question of how good they felt, and it wasn't a question of how far they had gone in their life or about the land. The great question was this.
Sheltered by that breath. Now I want to ask you kindly and solemnly, young person in this room tonight, it may just be that there's some poor sinner and you're searching and longing to know that your soul is saved, then you'll never be in hell. Let me tell you, as the eye of God looks down from heaven upon you tonight, and every individual in this meeting, he's just looking for one thing. What have you done about the blood? That's all that matters. That makes the difference between heaven and hell. That makes the difference, my friend, between rejoicing and peace with God and the sorrow of weeping. When it's too late, what makes the difference? What have you done with the blood? That's what happened that night in Egypt, my friend. Every individual that saw the value of that blood, they applied it. Every individual that believed God about the judgment that was imminent, that would fall at midnight, they took God at His word. Get the blood! They applied the blood upon the altar. Oh, my friend, the blood has been shed upon the altar. The Lord Jesus shed that precious blood. We can do nothing to make that real. Thank God it is real. It has been shed. The work that saves has been done. You can add nothing. I need add nothing. We can add nothing. Christ has done it all. Look yonder to the precious blood of Christ shed, friend. God required it. Christ willingly gave it. Blessed be His name. And tonight that precious blood is available for sinners without a shelter. And every sinner that will take God at His word about the blood, that soul is saved. For God is my master. I will talk over you. That's what God's looking for. He's not looking at how you feel about religion. He's not looking, my friend, at how you feel about your prayers. God is looking tonight to see what you have done with the precious blood of Christ, which He shed for your salvation. Could I close the meeting? And I feel it is the most solemn thing to bring to your attention tonight, that it is possible for you to go out that door like the people of Matthew chapter 27. They said, "We'll take our chance." Pilate, he took his chance. He tried to blame somebody else. Poor Judas, he took his chance. He thought there would be another. But these dear people stubbornly hearing about the value of the Lord Jesus, they said, "No. We don't want. We'll take the responsibility for His blood." Oh, surely there is no one here tonight who would dare to rise from that chair upon which you sit with eternity, looking you straight in the eye. The breath that you breathe is a tender thread, even more fickle than the thread of the seed, the thread of life. So quickly snuffed up, so unexpectedly lost. Rise from that chair, staying in your house. I don't want to be a child. Oh, I tremble to what is happening wrong. The multitude of sinners, and they've gone away, offering the blood of Christ to me, clinging to the robes of their selfless, clinging to their own feet, satisfied with their own ideas, and going away as they came, unshackled. Oh, my friend, I appeal to you tonight. God has loved you. Calvary is the evidence of it. Christ has loved you. Sinner though you are, and He knows that you are, He has shed His blood to purchase your everlasting salvation. He gave the answer to God, the price that redeems, that saves. He gave it in His own life blood. He poured out His life that you might be saved. The gospel holds out to you tonight all the value of that precious blood shed at Calvary for your salvation And the great question is, what will you do with the blood tonight? What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Sinner in danger of everlasting woe, will you take that blood? Like the people in Egypt, they just simply believed God that the blood was their only shelter. The blood was all they required. And God gave them the seal of His unchangeable word. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Or will you go away like the people of Matthew 27? Oh, poor sinner tonight, way at rest. Eternity is in the past. Your sins will be against you forever. And the precious blood of Christ is available tonight. Oh, what will you do? The blood on the altar is already satisfied. And you're looking for satisfaction for your sins? God is already conquered in the blood of His Son. Speaking to tell you about it tonight. He wants you simply to take Him at His word as to the value of what Christ has done to shelter a sinner like you from that to come. The moment you take God at His word, you'll be saved in your life. No one will have to tell you, away with this mountain and say in a little prayer, and then the preacher's saying, well, you're saved. He doesn't know you're saved, and you know you're not. That's not. But you get a hold of it, and let God say, trust the word of the unchangeable God, the work of Christ, and you know you're saved. My, how precious it is to know. May God help you to see tonight the value of that blood of your salvation. Whatever you do, don't fix it. There's no shelter from hell, fire. There's no shelter from the wrath of God. Outside. O God in heaven, we do earnestly invoke Thy blessing upon Thy word that we have listened to this evening. Regarding the tremendous debt and load of sin. And we thank Thee indeed that Thou hast made a full provision. Every one of us here tonight are indebted to Thy love that we have never merited, that we are even found here, and found with a Bible in our hand, and able to listen to the blessed truth that Christ has shed His blood, that our sins might be forever forgiven and our soul saved. We pray that none would dare to leave tonight as they came in their sin without Christ. We pray to impress divine truth upon the hearts of men and women, young and old, that sinners might receive Christ as their Savior before it be too late. We